Good evening. Take your Bibles, if you will, and turn to Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6. We're continuing our study in the Sermon on the Mount and concluding a particular portion tonight as we will transition next week, Lord willing. Society today does a fantastic job of getting us to focus on the fleeting things of life. Those things that will not last, those things that are not eternal. In fact, society does an even better job of making us so busy with those things that pass away, those things that don't stay, that we rarely actually think at all. We just move from one thing to another thing. There are so many people in the world today that don't take a moment to have a spare, independent thought. They wake up, and they're either dealing with their family, or they'll turn the radio on because it's their alarm clock, or they'll turn on the television to hear the morning news. They go to work, and on the way to work, they listen to the radio, or they're thinking about the things they're going to do at work. They're focused on their job while they're there, and on the way home, they're kind of trying to decompress and probably turn on some music on the radio and get home, and then they're going to be dealing with their family, with if they have kids, with homework, with dinner. All these different things that have to go on, not including running any errands. And before they know it, they're laying in their bed ready to go to sleep, and they haven't thought about anything. They haven't taken time to think about any decisions that they made throughout the day. They haven't taken time for any decisions that they might have the next day or the day after that, or where they want to place their priorities in the coming days or weeks or months or even years. We're a lot like Martha in the Bible. If you remember Mary and Martha, they were having a meal at their house, and Jesus was attending. And Martha was very busy about with many things. And she complained to Jesus. She complained to Jesus that her sister Mary wasn't helping her. And Jesus said, Martha, you're encumbered about many things. Mary has chosen the good part. She's taken time to listen. She's taken time to think about eternal things. But unfortunately, we're a lot like Martha. And we even tend to miss the fact that we don't think about eternal things. Now, we make those choices. But we're forced by those choices to just try and get along. We move from one thing to another thing to another thing. And we're just kind of making it. We're not truly living as the Lord would want us to. And I have to admit, if that's your life, that's an awful way to go about your life. That's not using your brain and applying the things that you know from Scripture to live your life according to God. And we would do well to learn from the author of Ecclesiastes, the Scripture reading that I did a little bit before this, that all things under the sun are vanity. They're vanity. There are things that will pass away. The building we're standing in one day will be gone. The chairs you're sitting in one day will be gone. The clothes you're wearing one day will be gone. Some of them are already being worn out. The shoes you have on, the food you're going to thinking about eating tonight, all these things will pass away. One day you yourself will pass away. You'll pass from this earth. Everything about our existence is actually fleeting, apart from the things of God. Those are the things that are eternal. And so, what we ought to be thinking about is eternal things. Those things that have a bearing upon our future in eternity. Where we will be in eternity. Whether with God in heaven, or separated from Him in hell. We ought to be thinking about Christ. Thinking about the only way to heaven. We ought to be thinking about where our treasure is. Where our treasure is. Because we all have treasure. Now, it may differ in value. Some treasure doesn't have any particular monetary value, but it's important nonetheless. The thing that we ought to be thinking about is, where is our treasure? Is it right here with us? Something we're holding on to? Or trying to hold on to? Or is it something to do with God in heaven? And so tonight we're considering verses 19 through 21 of Matthew chapter 6. And in these verses, Jesus warns us concerning treasure. He warns us about those things that we hold valuable. He says, "Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." Now, again, we always want to keep the context of what we're talking about in mind. And we're not going to go through the whole Sermon on the Mount this evening to where we've been, but just keep in mind who he's talking about. He's talking to Christians. He's talking to those that are characterized by the Beatitudes, those that have mourned over their sin, that are poor in spirit, those that have humbled themselves, they're meek, they're lowly, they're hungering and thirsting after righteousness. They're seeking the Lord because he first sought them. They're Christians. That's the character of who they are. And the world has reacted poorly against them, but they're salt and light in the world. And Jesus talks about how the law is expanded and expounded, and it's so much more severe than we first thought it was. But we can live because of him, because he has fulfilled that law. And he gives us a righteousness that we don't have in ourselves. And then he proceeds in chapter 6 to go into our motives. The difference between the motives of those that are considered hypocrites and those that follow God. Because it's as simple as that to make yourself a hypocrite or a follower of God. It's your motive. It's why you do the things you do. All based upon your relationship with Jesus Christ. And so in this section, he teaches us how to behave towards our fellow man because of our relationship with God. In our giving, in our helping of others. He teaches us how to approach God in prayer and even how to pray and gives us a model to follow. He teaches about our focus when we're spending time with him as it is in fasting. And now in these verses, in these three verses, I think we come to the culmination of this particular part of Scripture because I think it wraps up all of the things that he's been talking about. And you say, well, how is that if he's talking about motives and he's talking about these things that we're doing? Well, because throughout that, he speaks about rewards. He speaks about rewards throughout the section that that's led up to this. Those first 18 verses, he speaks about rewards over and over and over again. And so the question I have is, what is your treasure? I'm going to read this section again. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. The things you value. What are the things you value? It's a good question to ask ourselves. What are those things? Is it a nice house? Is it a large bank account? Lots of money in your pocket? To buy the things you want? The things you need? For some, it's a good retirement account because they're getting older, like myself. And thinking more about when those days are where I'm not going to be working, where I'm not going to be bringing in the money. And I'll have to have money to survive on. So I want that nice big account to make it comfortable. Well, a nice vehicle or nice clothes to wear, nice vacations or holidays to go on. All of these things are possessions. All of these things that are things that people treasure to one degree or another. Some people treasure vacations or holidays over jewelry. Some people treasure jewelry over the other. Some people treasure houses. Some people treasure toys. Some people treasure the newest shoe. Some people treasure the nicest jumper. Some people treasure the nicest glasses. All these things are possessions that people treasure. Now, some people, they treasure prestige. It's not something a physical possession that they treasure, but they treasure being known. Being looked up to. Having people say, wow, there goes so-and-so. Look at that person. He's a good man. He's a good woman. She's a good woman. That's somebody that I value. That's somebody that I look up to. Some people treasure that idea, that to be called those things. What about people? You know, people can be treasures as well. Maybe we treasure our spouse. Or our children. Or our siblings. Or our friends. our neighbors, our fellow church members. People can be a treasure just like possessions can be a treasure. How do you treat those people? Do you seek their good and their welfare? Or do you seek what they can give you? Seek the things they do for you. Well, the Pharisees' treasure from what Jesus was saying is the praise of men. It's like that prestige. That's what they were looking for. That's why they did the things they did. And that's why he called them hypocrites. And listen to what he says in verse 2, verse 5 and verse 16 of chapter 6. Therefore, when thou doest thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That was their treasure. The praise of men. That was their treasure, and they got it. They got their reward. They got their treasure. Then verse 6. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet. And when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father, which... Oh, I'm reading the wrong verse. Verse 5. And when thou prayest, thou shalt not be as the hypocrites are, for they love to pray, standing in the synagogues and in the corners of the streets, that they may be seen of men. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. That's what they were looking for, was the prestige of those around them. And they got it. They got that reward. They were going to hold on to that as tightly as they could. They were going to keep doing everything they needed to, so that people would praise them, so that people would look up to them, say, look at that righteous man. Then again in verse 16, moreover, when ye fast, be not as the hypocrites of a sad countenance, for they disfigure their faces, that they may appear unto men to fast. Verily I say unto you, they have their reward. See, the Pharisees went about getting their treasure, and they held on to their treasure as tightly as they could. And that's one of the reasons they persecuted Jesus so much, because he didn't follow their reward system. He wasn't doing things to receive the praise of men. He was doing things to receive the praise of his Father in heaven. The Pharisees were looking at things completely wrong. Sometimes we do that. Sometimes we do things, good things, for the wrong reasons, so that people will say, good job, well done. See, all of these things, whether it's the possessions, the things that we want, the prestige, the people, the way the Pharisees were, the praise of men, they all stem from a love of the world. A love of things that will not last. A love of things that will not be there. They stem from looking at the immediate instead of looking for the eternal. It goes back to motive. About, do you possess the things that you're talking about, that we're talking about, or do those things possess you? Because treasure ends up normally possessing you. It has a grasp on you. In the gold rush in the 1840s in California, they called it a gold fever. They had the fever for gold, and they were going to get it no matter what it took, and they would be violent to get that gold. They would kill other people to get that gold because it was so strong upon them. They wanted that treasure, and they were going to get it. What your treasure consists of is revealed by how much time you spend seeking that treasure or doing things about that treasure. How much time do you spend with your things? How much time do you spend on the things that have come to your mind as I've been speaking? Well, that's what your treasure is. Well, see, there's a negative aspect to that earthly treasure. There's a negative to it, and Jesus lays it out for us right up front. Lay not up for yourselves treasures upon earth, where moth and rust doth corrupt, and where thieves break through and steal. So, we generally will label things as worldly. If you know anything about Christian society, if you will, they'll label things as that's something that's worldly. And that's got a bad connotation to it. A bad thought to it. That's something the world sees, and we have to keep far from that. But unfortunately, most of the time, the things that we label worldly are things we're not guilty of. The things we're guilty of, the things that we struggle in, we don't label as worldly because we're the ones struggling in them. We label what other people are interested in as worldly. So here's a good example of the negativity of worldly goods. The foolish farmer in Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 13 and 21 through 21. And one of the company said unto him, Master, speak to my brother, that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said unto him, Man, what made me a judge or divider? Who made me a judge or a divider over you? And he said unto them, Take heed, and beware of covetousness, for man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then whose shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. That farmer, that rich man, didn't realize that his soul was going to be required that night. He had grand plans. He had the best harvest he'd ever had. It brought forth more than he could imagine. His barns weren't big enough. He said, I'm going to tear down those barns. I'm going to build bigger barns. And then I'm going to store all my goods, and I'm going to sit back, and I'm going to relax. I'm going to have it on easy street from this point forward. Because I've got all that I need. I've got all my treasures stored in my barns. And he died that night. And God called him a fool. The reason God called him a fool is because he was placing his heart on treasure that wasn't going to last. In fact, he didn't last long enough to enjoy the treasure. And see, that's the thing about earthly things. We're not guaranteed that we're going to be around to enjoy those things. I can't tell you how many times I've heard of people that have saved and scrimped and gone through almost poverty to have a good retirement. And when they retired, they were going to travel, they were going to see the world, they were going to enjoy themselves, they were going to have a nice and easy at home, a nice comfortable car, and all these things. And right before or right after they retired, they got sick. They couldn't go anywhere, they couldn't do anything, and they couldn't enjoy a single thing that they had planned to enjoy. Because life is fleeting. It's not permanent. Doesn't matter what the possession you think you have, that is your treasure, it will pass away. Or you will pass away. And then whose will it be? The rich man and Lazarus in Luke 16. Here is a rich man. He's got everything he needs, everything he wants. And at his gate is Lazarus. He's a poor man. He's actually scraping his skin with the broken pots from the rich man's house because of the sores that are on his skin. They both die the same night. And the rich man, he ends up in hell. Lazarus ends up in paradise. Not because they were necessarily rich or poor, but here is the rich man in hell, and everything he had is now gone. You will die one day, and you'll have exactly what you were born with. Absolutely nothing. You won't have any clothes. You won't have any gold or jewels or diamonds, or you won't have a car, you won't have a house. All of those things will become someone else's. In this country, if you don't sign it over to anybody else, it'll go to the queen. She'll get it. But it will become someone else's. You only possess it for a time. It's like you're just paying rent, no matter if you own the house or not. Because it won't be yours forever. It will go to somebody else. And I think of Solomon, the writer of Ecclesiastes, and all that he had. He was the richest in Israel before, above anybody that was before him or anybody that was after him. He had more silver, more gold, more animals, more buildings, more of everything. And when he died, he left it to his son who had no brains whatsoever. He left it to his son who fiddled it all away. His kingdom was broken up. What good did it do Solomon? When he died, he didn't have any of it anymore. It was gone. And his son just let it go. That's what happens. It's like if I was to say to you, I want you to put 5 pounds aside every day. Every day, because you're going to save up for 20 years. And I'll even add money to your account. And you're going to save up, and you're going to save up, and you're going to save up. And at the end of those 20 years, you know what you're going to get out of that account? Absolutely nothing. You're going to get a great big fat zero. Not a single brass farthing. Not a single penny will you get. Would you be interested in putting money in that account? Would you sign up for that? Put in money every day. At the end of 20 years, get nothing. When you put your earthly treasures as your hope, as the things you want, that's exactly what you're doing. You're putting your money, you're putting your hope, you're putting your dreams into something that at the last day, you'll get nothing from it. It's worthless. See, those treasures all get corrupted. As time goes on, they always lose their luster. The new car smell always wears off. You get scratches, you get dents, your kids get it dirty. All kinds of things happen. And it's no longer nice and shiny, and it no longer gives you joy to get in it and drive down the street. It becomes a burden. If something is rusting or being eaten by moths, guess what you're not doing with it? You're not using it. If it's getting the chance to rust, you're not using it. If it's being eaten by moths, it's hanging in your closet. You're not even wearing it. How can that be a treasure? How can it be worth what you think it's worth? It's not. Our treasures can be stolen. They can be taken from us. You know, and that's not just a thief coming into your house and stealing your TV. That's not just a thief coming along and taking something from you. Sometimes it's through our own foolishness with relationships, and the people are taken out of our lives. Sometimes it's through our own decisions, and the things that we thought were valuable to us are gone. We pass on our treasures. One day, my wife and I will die. And if our 3 boys are still alive at that time, they will get whatever we have. It won't be ours anymore. Who knows how much wisdom they'll have. But what will happen when they die? They'll get passed on to somebody else. And to somebody else, and to somebody else, and to somebody else. It just keeps going like that. Proverbs teaches us over and over again that worries increase as our earthly treasures do. You know, who worries more? The person who has nothing and can barely keep a roof over their head? Or the person who has millions and millions and millions of pounds? It's actually the person who has millions and millions and millions of pounds. Because they're worried about thieves. They're worried about what they're going to do to invest their money. They're worried about the tax man. They're worried about this. They're worried about that. They're worried about having the latest and the greatest. I heard the Duke of Devonshire in Chatsworth. Every week he's getting a new piece of art. Every week. That's shocking. Ecclesiastes, I read this in the opening. Ecclesiastes 2, verses 1 through 11. Solomon had it all. He had it all. And at the end of it all, he said it's all vanity. It's all pointless. The work I do is pointless. The people in my life, it's pointless. The money I have, the animals I have, the houses I have, the lands I have, everything I have is useless. If you're looking at it from an earthly perspective. Because it's all going to go away. The only way any of it has value is looking at it from a heavenly perspective. From a godly perspective. That's what Jesus is talking about. So the first thing, when you're examining treasure, is you have to see Jesus as that ultimate treasure. You have to see Him as the ultimate treasure. In Matthew 13:44, Jesus says, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field." That man found a treasure that he wasn't expecting. Elijah. That man found a treasure that he wasn't expecting. When he stumbled upon it, he probably thought he hit a stone. And probably grumbled about the stone that he hit when he hit it with his plow. But then he bends down and he sees it's not a stone and he sees it's treasure. And he covers it up and he goes and he sells everything he has to get that treasure, to buy that land. He buys that land, he comes back and the treasure is his. That's what Jesus says the kingdom of heaven is like. That sometimes you're going through life and you're going to stumble upon him. And you need to lay hold of that treasure. Sometimes it's a little different. The pearl of great price in Matthew 13:45, the next verse. He says, again, the kingdom of heaven is likened to a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. You see, he was out looking for the very thing that he ended up buying. He was out looking for good pearls. He was a merchant. He traded in those things. But one day he came across a pearl that was so wonderful. He sold every other pearl he had and everything else he owned so that he can go buy that one pearl. That's how much he thought of it. See, sometimes you're looking for God. Sometimes you're searching for things. But not until you stumble upon Jesus Christ. Not until you see him as the Savior do you truly have that treasure. Isaiah 45 says, "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. For I am God, and there is none else. I have sworn by myself, the word has gone out of my mouth in righteousness, and shall not return. That unto me every knee shall bow, every tongue shall swear." So God is telling us to look unto him. "Look unto me, all ye ends of the earth, and be ye saved." Actually, I just switched that around. "Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth." Be ye saved. And it's not tomorrow, not after I've gotten some things done. No, it's today. Look unto him today. Be ye saved today. Because he's sworn it that if you do, he'll give you his righteousness. He'll forgive you of your sins. That's what he's done. And so we point you to him. That's the most valuable treasure. Now, if you have trusted Christ or are trusting Christ, there's positive things of heavenly treasure. But those only exist for Christians. Jesus tells us they exist. He tells us in these verses, the same times that he was warning us not to be as the hypocrites are, because they will have their reward, he tells us that we'll get a reward. "But when thou doest the alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth, that thine alms may be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. But thou, when thou prayest, enter into thy closet, and when thou hast shut thy door, pray to thy Father which is in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly. But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thine head and wash thy face, that thou appear not unto men to fast, but unto thy Father which is in secret. And thy Father which seeth in secret shall reward thee openly." See, there are rewards. There are treasures that can be sent ahead, if you will. They exist. How do you get them? Well, it's through proper motives, number one, if you're a Christian. It's through doing things for the right reasons. Not so people will say, "Yeah, he did a good job." Not for the praise of men. Not for what you'll get. But for who did something for you. If that's your motive. If it's for Jesus Christ. If it's out of love for him. If it's following his example. Giving alms, praying, fasting, all these things that he's talked about. Those are the motivations. Those are the things that you might be doing, but doing them for the right reasons. Those things build up treasure in heaven. In Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46, we have the story of those that have come before Christ at the last day. They've come before Christ at the last judgment. And they stand before him. And they come and they say, "We've done wonderful things in your name." He says in verse 34, "Then shall the king say unto them on his right hand, Come ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me in. Naked, and ye clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and ye came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee and hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick, or in prison and came unto thee? And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, ye have done it unto me. Then shall he say also unto them on the left hand, Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire, prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was an hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked, and ye clothed me not. Sick, and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee an hungered, or a thirst, or a stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer unto them, saying, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into life eternal. You see, there were two different groups of people there. There were the believers and the unbelievers, Christians and the non-Christians, those that have been born again and those that have not been born again. But there's a difference in their actions. One group performed for others in the name of the Lord. And Jesus says, you did it to me. The other group were too worried about their own treasures, too worried about keeping their own money, too worried about keeping their own things in good shape, not helping others. And Jesus says, you've got nothing. Depart from me into everlasting punishment. How sad is that? So how do you approach these things? How do you use the things that other people consider treasures in your current life? 1 Timothy 6 tells us, Charge them that are rich in this world that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God, who giveth us richly all things to enjoy, that they do good, that they be rich in good works, ready to distribute, willing to communicate, laying up in store for themselves a good foundation against the time to come, that they may lay hold on eternal life. You see, Paul is telling Timothy, make sure you describe to people who have things, that own things, to use them properly, to be good stewards of them. Because that's exactly what we are. We're stewards. We're custodians. Hopefully you saw that from the earlier in the message, where every one of the things you own will go to somebody else one day, if it's not destroyed before it gets there. You're only going to have it for a short amount of time. It's going to go to somebody else. You ought to take care of it, and you ought to use it for God's glory. That's what Jesus is telling us. You're a custodian. You're a steward of it. Because it's ultimately His, not yours. He's the giver of it. And you ought to approach this life as a pilgrim, not as somebody who's permanent. Hebrews 11 teaches us that. Moses, Abraham, all the people in that honor roll of faith, they all were looking for something other than this life. They were all looking to a city whose foundations were not made by hands, but made by God. They were looking to that heavenly city. The actions they performed were based upon that thought. The faith that they showed was based upon that thought. And the idea that those heavenly treasures, they won't see corruption. Back in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus says, But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust doth corrupt, and where thieves do not break through nor steal. You see, heavenly treasures will see no corruption, Elijah. 1 Peter 1 tells us, Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. See, heavenly treasures, heavenly things, they won't see corruption. They won't see rust. There's no moth going to be chewing on those heavenly garments. It's not going to fade away like a new car does. It's not going to get holes. You're not going to get holes in the clothes or in your shoes. The things He gives us are going to be permanent, of eternal value. There's not going to be a thief there. There's not going to be somebody who can take it out of God's hand. There's not somebody now that can take what you sent ahead away. That's an amazing thought. Now remember, this is not teaching that you can earn heaven. It's only through the blood of Christ, through faith in Him, that you can be in heaven. But remember what Jesus is teaching us here. He's teaching us that those that are Christians will behave differently. And because of that, there will be rewards. And they ought not to keep their eye on the reward. They ought to keep their eye on the God of the reward. On the reason for the reward. So the test comes. In verse 21, "For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also." So, go back to that idea. What is your treasure? What is your treasure? And when you identify what your treasure is, where is your treasure? Is it in front of you? Is it something you hold in your hand? Or is it something to do with God? Because what it is and where it will tell you where your heart is. And that's a test that we can apply to ourselves to evaluate, first off, whether or not you're in the faith. First or not, to see whether you're in the family of God. And then if you're in the appropriate spot, because you can be out of that spot. Lot was out of that spot. Peter calls him righteous Lot. Calls him a Christian. And yet, Lot, he didn't have any treasure. He ended up losing all the treasure he had in this life. And he had no treasure to send ahead to the next because of the choices he made. And that's something that should sober us. So where have you been storing your treasure? Is it in heaven before you or is it here on earth? One is secure, one's not. Wisdom dictates that you ought to think about where your treasure is. That you ought to be placing it in the right spot. That you ought to think about eternal things. Not let the busyness of life get you distracted. And that you ought to think about eternal things. What is the state of your soul? Have you come to Christ in repentance and faith, seeking forgiveness from Him? Because if you haven't done that, the treasure doesn't matter. The treasure doesn't make a difference. You can't send anything ahead. Think on Christ first, but then think about your treasure. We point you to Him.